clearing pirates from the Mediterranean was a rather interesting command to get, because it was one that could be extended in principle almost endlessly. A pirate is everything from, a bandit to a merchant you don't like, to rebels in somebody else's political struggles, to your actual enemy. In other words, there was really no way of defining exactly who were these people that Pompey was going to go and clear from the Mediterranean. He'd got himself, in principle, almost an open-ended command. Well, subsequently, Pompey also got armies and was able to fight even in some other campaigns. Now, close on Pompey's heels, Pompey had taken the lesson, you got to get a military command. In his case, he got a navy. Close on his heels, was Julius Caesar. Now, Julius Caesar was born in 100 B.C. He died in 44. Caesar's family situation, his political background, is actually kind of interesting. He comes from one of the oldest families in Rome, one of the oldest, most distinguished families in Rome, but a family which had been for a couple of centuries sort of on the eclipse. They had not been providing officers regularly, had not been providing consuls and so on. So Caesar sort of brings this family back into prominence. Now, Caesar was elected consul in the year 63, and then he began maneuvering for a major military campaign. You may remember we said in an earlier lecture that one of the stresses and strains that the creation of the Roman Empire produced for the Roman Republic was a multiplication of offices. So very often the consuls, and sometimes even the praetors, after their period of service in office, would become a proconsul or a propraetor, and would then get a military command and go off to one or another of the areas of the Roman world where they might be expected to fight. So Caesar, his ambitions don't stop with getting himself elected consul in 63. That normally, historically, in the past, would have been the pinnacle of a public career at Rome. Now it's a springboard to get an army. Well, there is also, at the same time at Rome, a man by the name of Crassus. Now, Crassus was crass. He came from a kind of a lower or middling family. He had going for him only this. He was the richest man in Rome. He had enormous money, but he had no respectability. Remember we talked about auctoritas, that eminence, that dignity of great citizens? Crassus had none of that. Crassus had none of that at all. But this rather unsavory character, he made a lot of his money, for example. Rome was a city very largely built in wood. It's only from the time of Augustus Caesar, we'll be talking about him in later lectures. We'll mention him at the end of this lecture and talk about him in more detail in later lectures. It's from Augustus's time on that much of Rome was rebuilt in stone and brick. Much of the city was in wood. And as a result, buildings were frequently catching fire. Crassus had a habit of hanging around at night and going up to buildings that were on fire, and as people came running out, he'd buy the buildings. And then he'd rebuild things and sell them at enormous profits and so on. Well, he wants office and a military command simply to get legitimacy, to get a certain measure of sort of credibility. Well, as a result, these three guys, Pompey, Caesar, and Crassus, sort of pooled their political resources, pooled their material resources in 60 and formed what was called the First Triumvirate. Crassus, as I said a moment ago, he just wanted legitimacy. He wanted a military command that would somehow give him a kind of an authenticity in Roman politics that he otherwise lacked. Pompey wanted laws passed providing pensions for his veterans, those soldiers who had worked with him during his campaigns against the pirates. Caesar, as I mentioned a moment ago, just to repeat, wants a military command. Actually, where he wants to go is Gaul, and we'll come back to that in just a second. So, these three guys pool their political resources in 60 B.C. Now, a political deal like this, was it illegal? No. Was it unusual? Yes. Was it unprecedented? Yes. And Cicero and others protested in vain against this outrageous manipulation of the Roman system. They said, you know, this is not the way the system's supposed to be. What's curious here is these guys actually stayed on the right side of the law. They didn't actually do anything illegal. But they certainly were manipulating the system, and they were certainly manipulating it to serve their own purposes. Now, Caesar got his command. He went off and spent 8 years in Gaul, writing his commentaries and sending them back. Virtually every student who's ever done Latin in high school or in college has read some portion of Caesar's commentaries on the Gallic Wars, very often the first Latin text that a Latin student encounters. But while Caesar was off in Gaul, Roman politics changed pretty dramatically.